It is a joy to be here today. My heart is jumping for great joy, joy in the Lord. I was asked to give a talk on Romans 6, and when I read that whole chapter over, what jumped out at me was victory from sure defeat. When I was in school, I was active in sports, and I can tell you there is no comparison which is better, victory or defeat. When we would win a game, I'm telling you, everybody was so excited. But when we were defeated, it was gloom. Nobody hardly said anything, and we couldn't wait to leave and get on with our lives. Romans 6 lights up a way to show us how we can become victors over sure defeat. Three areas I'm going to get to. The first one is baptism, and today is baptism day. And the other one is that we're not a slave to sin anymore. We have been set free. Hallelujah. And the third one deals with the gospel message, the basic message of becoming a Christian. So I'm going to talk on those three. And the first one is baptism. Now, my mom, when I was younger, divorced my biological father, and she remarried when I was age 10. Up until that time, I had never heard of God. I had no idea that there was a spiritual life existing. I did walk by a church. I never knew it was a church, but it was a beautiful building as I went to school every day walking. And then when my mother remarried, my stepdad was an Episcopalian. And when he found out I hadn't been baptized, he took me to the priest, who took me to the church, and with my grandmother and grandfather and parents there, they baptized me. And the priest came up, he read some nice things, and he put some water on top of my head. I had no idea what that was all about, but I do know they gave me a certificate that had my name on it and said I was baptized. I felt pretty good, actually. Well, fast forward until I become 20 years of age, when I finally realized for all my younger years going to church, and I realized that I had never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I made a commitment to church. I made a commitment to Sunday school, a commitment to serve on the altar, and I made that commitment, I guess, to be baptized. But you know, when I made that commitment to Jesus and asked him to come into my heart, my life changed dramatically. And one of the dramatic things was I went to a Bible-believing church. In fact, the name of it was Bible Center. And as I was sitting there day after day, finally they had a baptism. And they invited the people to come forward to be baptized, and they immersed them in this water, and they brought them back out. And all the times I was there, I went to the baptism times, nobody ever sprinkled water on their head, and they never brought up a child. They were always people who were believers, made a profession of Christ to be baptized. Well, I had to find out about this, so I got the Bible, and I started reading it. And I went through, and every time I was reading about baptism, it had to do with immersion. And by believers, somebody that had made a profession of faith, they now were going to be baptized. And when they did it, it was symbolic. They put them in the water, called the watery grave, and they rose them up again, like the resurrection of Christ. Even Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist that way in the River Jordan. And I thought, well, how come they sprinkled water on my head? And as a child that I had never made a profession of faith. So I kept reading the Bible and I couldn't find anything in there. One day I was visiting another church, and as I was leaving, there was a pamphlet on the wall, and it says, "What the Bible says about infant baptism." I said, great, that's what I've been wanting to know. So I took the pamphlet, and I couldn't wait till I get to the car. I opened it up, and there was nothing inside. It was blank. And then I realized, yep, that was the answer. I could never find anything on it. Well, in Romans 6, 3 and 4, it says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live." That's the beauty of the baptism by immersion. You're symbolically in what Jesus did. He died, and we're to die to self as we go into that water. And if we stayed in the water, we definitely would die. But we're raised again to new life. And Jesus came out of that grave on the third day and rose to heaven and new life with his Father. Well, you know, it got to me to the point where I went to the pastor and I said, "Could I be baptized again?" And he says, "Well, maybe you weren't even baptized in the first place." And I said, "I'm not going to go there." But I said, "Would you baptize me?" And he said, "I would be happy to." So I got baptized by immersion. And, you know, I'm not saying that everybody has to, but God was really hitting my heart on that area that said, I, as a believer now, wanted to proclaim to the world that I love Christ, that I have asked for the forgiveness of my sins, and I want to be baptized like he was. The second area is we're no longer a slave to sin. Wow. You talk about a victory from sure defeat. That's it. In Romans 6, 6 and 7, it says, "We should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." What do you mean? You got to die to be free? It's not talking about a physical death. It's talking about a spiritual death to ourself. In the next, Matthew 16, 24 and 25, and by the way, nowhere in the Bible does it say to read the Bible. It does say study the Bible. And if you're a college student, you know the difference between reading something, reading your chapter, and getting tested for it. You study it. So we're to study the Bible. So you don't just read a verse and say, "Oh, I see." You don't see. Keep studying that. And as I studied what did it mean to die? Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself or die to yourself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, my experience in conversion, I'll give you the short version. I finally got to the point where I was decided, "Jesus, I'm going to give you all of my life except one area." And I just couldn't give that up. And that was my will to his will. And I thought, actually, I think now how silly it was, but not then. That was a big thing for me. I kept thinking, what if I give my will to him? And he says to me, "Harvey, I want you to be a missionary in a third world country, but you're going to get killed there. The natives are going to kill you, and you won't be able to get married. You won't be able to have children. You won't have grandchildren. You won't be there at their weddings." And I thought, I just couldn't do it. And obviously, there came a point when I had to get off the fence and quit saying, "Nope, I'm going to hold back on this one thing. I'll give you 90% of my life, God." And he says, "Nope, I want 100%. How about 99? "Nope, I want 100% of your life." I remember I remember this vividly to this day. I drove to the end of Cape Cod, far as I could go, got out of my car, fighting with God about surrendering my will to His. I got in the water, had an argument with Him, and He won. I gave in, and I surrendered my will to Him. I died to self. My life has never been the same ever since. Surrendering my will, or your will, to Him. Totally. Romans 6:16 says, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Again, victory from sure defeat. We can stay in that sin world. It leads to death, guaranteed, and a lot of consequences along the way. Or it can lead to life and righteousness living. Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. Another translation of slaves, a lot of people have a negative connotation to that, but we have become servants or bonded or joined together with God. So if we're free from sin, we are now become a servant to God. And the benefit, because of that, leads to holiness. And that leads to eternal life. Again, victory from sure defeat. The last area I want to cover is the basic gospel. At one point when I was going to college, I wanted to earn some money over the summer, so I went and sold encyclopedias. In order to do that, I had to get trained. So I was trained by this man who had this great big thick book, and he opened it up and he says, here's what you're to do when you go out knocking on a door and they let you in, you're to read this. And so he would read it, and it would say why you should buy encyclopedias. Then he would flip over, and he says, in case they say, but I can't afford it, you flip over, he went over four or five pages, and you read this, why they can afford it. And if they say, well, my kids aren't real good at school, you flip over to these pages, and you read this. And they were all good things, statistics, you know, why they would succeed if they would only buy an encyclopedia. And I said to him, boy, you're smart. I don't think I can remember all those pages and what to do. He says, oh, he said, that's simple. Here's what you do. When you go to the first page, then you know what that page will be. The next page is numbered underneath that page. So you just look at what number is that, you turn to that. And when you get to that number and you finish what you're saying there, there's another page listed at the bottom, and you turn, you know, and I thought as a Christian, that's neat, because I couldn't remember when I wanted to present the gospel to somebody. I'd get to the first one, and I'd forget where the next one was. So I wrote it down on the bottom of my Bible. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. I don't care what your English teacher told you when you were a librarian. Start writing in that Bible. Anyways, put the next one down. Now, here is the way to present the gospel. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone. And I used to, when we had the Bible study to begin this beautiful church we have today, that's what we would start off with. And we would just say, now you realize we're all sinners. I am, you are. And I don't ever remember anybody ever arguing with that one. Nobody could become as holy and perfect as God. They needed help. Well, if you're a sinner, then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. If we're sinners, then we deserve death. But thank God for the but in here. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I would have down at the bottom of that verse in Bible, it would be 1 John 1:9. Well, what do I do? How do I get rid of my sin? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. Those of us that have asked Christ to come into our lives and surrendering our will to his will know that indeed we have confessed our sins and he has freed us and forgiven us of our sins. And then at the bottom of that one, I had 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, what happens after you ask Christ to come in? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is here. Yes, it has come here. Now, some of you here maybe have never made a commitment to Christ. I would invite you. I've often have said, and I think back on it, that it's a tough decision, but it's not a hard one. It's a matter of prayer and asking God to forgive you of your sin. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you need to do that and to become a new creature. Maybe you don't like the way things are in your life. I got to that point one day. Is this all there is in life? Just trying to be happier than the day before? That's a rough one because there are already so many rocky roads ahead that aren't always better than the day before. Well, here's the answer. This is, some of you remember Glenn Ewart, who was up here doing the announcements and getting me involved here. Glenn, when I used to visit in his home, I'd hear him play Simon and Garfunkel. And the one I liked the most was The Bridge Over Troubled Water. And The Bridge Over Troubled Water reminded me of the bridge we need when we come to God. We need Christ. And if the picture that I've asked to have put up here, as you can see, is mankind on one side, and on the other side is God. And there's this big pit, and that big pit, the bottom is sin. And if you try to get to God without a bridge, you're going to literally die. You're going to go to your death. And death was the result of your sin and your life not forgiven. However, there is a bridge over troubled water, and that's the cross of Christ. And you can see what it says, why we have been forgiven. We have a new life in Christ. Christ paid it all. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Once and for all, the scripture says. So you can walk across that bridge to God only through Christ. And he, according to the scripture, Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no other person but Christ. And we're saved by grace, not by our works. That cross is the grace of God. We're going to end right now with just a prayer. And maybe if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, wherever you are, in our congregation or maybe back in your home, could even be in pajamas now. It doesn't matter to God. Your heart matters to him. So I'm going to just say a little prayer. And if you don't know how to pray and ask God to come into your life, you might want to pray something like this. Dear Lord, I've been a sinner. And I am so sorry, and I have asked for your forgiveness. And I ask for Jesus Christ to come in and take over my life. I love you, and I want to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. It has been a joy to be here. And don't ever forget, as a Christian, we have victory over sure defeat.